Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Enlighten our minds, we pray, O God, by the Spirit who proceeds from you, that as your Son has promised, we may be led into all truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. One of the first things that a good parent teaches a child is that actions have consequences. And those consequences may be a reward for good behavior. For example, maybe if a parent might say, you know, if you eat those Brussels sprouts, you can have some ice cream. Of course, that would take a lot of ice cream, in my view, to balance that equation. But there might also be negative consequences, right, for bad behavior. And I don't know if it says more about my parents' parenting or my behavior as a boy, but it seemed like the balance was always tipped in favor of those negative consequences in my house growing up for me and my brother. But consequences are what St. Paul is talking about in our lesson for this morning. It is found in Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4 and reading through verse 7. And here's what it says. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That is our lesson for this morning, and it is the Word of God that we want to focus on for the next few minutes. There are, as I see it, three statements in this passage that also have a consequence that follows upon that statement. But those all come at the end of the passage, and we're going to start with the beginning, and so we won't get to those consequences. Isn't this great? He leads in with consequences, and now he's not going to get to them till the end. But we will start with verse 4, because there's a curious statement here, and it says this: when the fullness of time had come, the fullness of time. It's as if time was bulging, ready to pop. It was full, right? We don't use that statement, do we? We say when the time was right or something like that. But I think this has a little more meaning, this fullness of time. It is as if there was a point in time when God had planned something big and it was about to pop at some point in time. It was full when that time had come. All of the previous history was looking forward to that one time, right? And what was that big event? Paul says it in the next sentence. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those that are under the law. Now, who is that that's under the law? We might think of the Old Testament Jews because they sure had a lot of laws. But the next sentence makes it clear it wasn't just them. It's everyone Everybody that's born is born under the law. There we go. That's a better way to say it. It's you and me. God has given us commandments. Well, that's what laws are, aren't they? Commandments. We sum them up by summing them up into 10 that were given back in the book of Exodus chapter 20. But there are millions of applications of those 10 commandments, right? And so, for example, when God says, don't bear false witness, it forbids us, of course, to say something untrue about someone else, right? But that's not the only application. it also commands us to speak well of other people. When God says don't commit adultery, it doesn't just mean the act of adultery. It also has wider application. Don't even lust after someone who is not your spouse. So you see that law is far-reaching. It reaches into every nook and cranny of your behavior, of your thoughts, of your mind. It's all-encompassing, this law that God has given. And I don't have to even know everyone in this room right now to know that everyone in this room has not kept that law perfectly. That's what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short, fallen short of the glory of God. Which brings us then back to our lesson. It says that Jesus, in the fullness of time, was also born under the law. Why? Well, the next sentence tells us the answer to that. So that he might redeem those who were under the law. So his coming at the right time was to redeem the people who were under the law. And, well, how does his coming redeem anybody, right? Well, it wasn't just the coming into the world. That's just a figure of speech that refers to everything he did while he was here. And what did he do? Well, he was born under the law. And you know what he was, really, when he was under the law and he began to live under the law? He was a substitute you, right? He was another you, but he was a perfect you instead of the you that you are, right? That's what he was, and the you that I am, or the I that I am, I guess. Now you know why I don't teach English. But but he was a substitute for us, and he lived in your place, except that where you lusted, he never did. Where you have spoken things about other people that should never have been said. He never did that. He lived perfectly. And then he took his life as it drew to the conclusion of his 33 years. He took his perfect life and he carried it up a hill called Calvary and he sacrificed him there on the cross. And on that cross, he took every sin that you had ever committed and he washed it away with his blood. He redeemed all those who were under the law. Well, you're under the law. That means he redeemed you. It means he redeemed me. Now, why did he do that? Well, back to our passage again, right? That we might receive the adoption as sons. Another curious statement. How come he doesn't say as sons and daughters? Well, there's a reason he doesn't say that. It was because in the Old Testament law, the way God had written the ordinances down for his people, it was the sons who received the inheritance. The wife would receive it along with her husband, but it was the sons who received it. And so when God adopts you, whether you're male or female, he adopts you as a son, it says, so that we may be adopted as sons, right? Now, this is very significant, this adoption that God has done. Imagine yourself as a little 5-year-old orphan living in an orphanage. And every time prospective parents come in to adopt someone, they line all the kids up. This really happened. My sister and her husband adopted 3 children from Russia, and they lined up all the kids, and the parents would go in and pick the ones that they wanted from the group. Just imagine that you're one standing in that line, hoping maybe to find that a parent would find it in their heart to adopt you. And time after time, the parents come and go, and you're still standing in that line. Thank God that he has not passed you by. He wants somebody like you. And so he redeemed you, that you might receive the adoption as sons. And now here come the consequences, right? Because you are sons, right, the consequence, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. What a word that is, Abba. We don't exactly have an English word to translate it, but the closest we have is the word daddy. What a word that is to describe God. So the Spirit cries out in your heart, Abba, Father. And now because you have that kind of a relationship with God, your Father, there's another consequence. And here it is. You are no longer a slave. No longer a slave, but a son. So you're not a slave to sin anymore. You're not a slave to Satan anymore. And then that too has a consequence. Because you get the inheritance. And so it says this in our passage, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You know what an heir is? It's somebody who gets something from somebody else, right? Something that somebody else had. You get what God has, right? That's heaven. What an amazing consequence of your adoption. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Would you please bow your head with me again? Dear Father, because we are not even able to please you without you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.